I want to thank God for another day that we are blessed, this day that he has blessed our way and that he's seeing us through. And we need to know that and thank him for it, because there are so many other ways and things that could be happening at this moment. But those that are blessed are finding their way to hear his word this morning, so that they'll have fuel for the fire as we go through the week. Now, I hope and pray that everyone is filled with the Spirit, enjoying this life and going forth. You are welcome, welcome, welcome to this space that we call worship. Amen. God bless you. So listen, there are many events that are happening in our public theater right now, and you need to be aware. Keep your eyes open. Don't walk around blindly. Don't walk around just looking at the past or the other things that are passing by you. Keep your spiritual eyes on. Amen. Now, are there any praise reports today? Any confessions today? Are there any prayer requests today? Okay, amen. Well, we're going to move forward with our lesson. Now, we have been on the 12 laws of the altar for, I guess, this will be our fourth week on it, but we are up to lesson number 8 today. And I know it's going to be a dynamite lesson for you today. Amen. Amen. So keep your eyes on. Listen to what's coming out today. And I know it's something that we all need to continue doing. If not, we need to adopt it. So let's bow our heads in prayer and move forward with our lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this time, for this moment, Lord. We just claim and call it a holy moment as we come before you with our worship and with our praise. We thank you, Father, that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you, Jesus, that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're worthy to be praised. And we thank you for all that you have done. We glorify your name today, Father. As we go through this lesson, I pray that you will enlighten the people, Lord. Give them your wisdom and your revealed knowledge. And we thank you that every spiritual and natural need is met in thy son Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Amen. Now, our lesson today is going to be on intercession. This is where our lesson number 8 will be on the law of intercession. Now, we have been through quite a few lessons thus far. And let's talk for a minute before we get off into the lesson. Let's talk about the altar. See, the altar is what the real topic of this lesson is. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning in the temple, the priest is to add firewood. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously, and it must not go out. That's found in Leviticus 6, verses 12 through 13. Now, why is it that some people pray and heaven seems to shake, move right away, while others pray and it feels like their words are hitting the ceiling and coming right back down? Why is prayer a source of power for some and a source of frustration for others? The answer lies in understanding that prayer is not just a religious ritual, it is a spiritual technology. And with all technologies, what do we want? We want them to work. And the spirit is somewhat of a technology. It is governed by principles, just like there are laws of the physics that govern the natural world, the law of gravity or aerodynamics. There are spiritual laws also that govern the realm of the spirit. Now, when we align with the laws of aerodynamics, we fly. And when we align with the laws of the altar, your prayers soar. Amen. The spirit is on the scene. Now, let me define a few things about the altar. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, most of them are the real close prophets and teachers. They built altars. Okay, Noah built an altar. Abraham built an altar. Jacob, Moses, David, they all built altars. But, you know, Solomon was the first one to build a temple. That temple has been destroyed. But later on, the Gentiles were accepted in the beloved. And there came the modern day church. Now the altar is simply a designated place of exchange. It is where the human meets the divine. It is where the natural is sacrificed to release the supernatural. The altar is the landing strip and a place for the presence of God to come. Amen. Now, what the different lessons that we've had already, we've had seven of those, and they are: number one, the law of divine alignment; number two, the law of sacrifice; number three, the law of consistency; number four, the law of authority; number five, the law of covenant; number six, the law of faith; number seven, the law of worship; and today, the law of intercession. Our reference scripture today is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And this is how it reads: I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Now, our core principle for this lesson is intercession is the selfless side of the altar. And maybe I use a little deeper word, selflessness. Let's put it like that. While petitions focus on our needs, intercession turns our hearts outward towards the needs of others. Now, it is an act of standing before our holy God. All right? We're standing before a holy God, standing for God's people, or the broken people. And we are included in that. But if we've made it this far, we've made it to the Word and God, then we are in the healing phase. But also we plead for mercy and intervention for those that don't know. At the altar of intercession, the believer becomes a bridge, a vessel of God's compassion and God's power. Now, the exposition here is intercession is rooted in the heart of Jesus, the ultimate intercessor. Now, Romans 8 and 34 is where we're going next. Give you a minute to get there. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. And this is what it reads. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ who died, yes, rather, who is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Jesus, ever present at the right hand of the Father, only the Savior, but the continual intercessor. So what does that say about Jesus? That as we pray our prayers in the name of Jesus, then Jesus intercedes on our behalf before the Father. Now we are called to follow his example. This law teaches us that the altar is not only a place to come before God and to seek his provisions for ourselves, but also a place to stand in the gap for others. It is a call to spiritual warfare, a position of love and advocacy where we plead for others. Now, what the distinction of the two prayers are, number one, petition. Petition is asking God to meet our needs, while intercession is asking God to meet the needs of others. It is an act of compassion, of selflessness, where we take on the burdens of others. Praise God. Even when we cannot or will not, even when others cannot or will not pray for themselves, we stand in the gap. Amen. Now, intercession shifts us from the I and me mentality to the we, us mentality. Now, it is a cure for spiritual selfishness. As believers, we are called not to just receive, but also to give, because we become a part of the collective when we use these type of acts to touch others' lives. And our prayer lives are woven into the lives of those around us. We pray for many around us, and as we should. But when you do that, you are fulfilling the prayer of intercession. Now, intervention. When we intercede, we stand in the gap, seeking God's intervention into the lives of others. This may be for someone who is spiritually distant, someone who is struggling, or even someone caught up in a destructive pattern in life. Sometimes we are only one standing between that person and their own destruction. How sad that is. But our prayers and advocacy can change the course of their lives. That's why we are standing in the gap. Now, this our theological insight here is to understand the depth of intercession, of our intercession in the next person's life that we feel for, a son, a daughter, a friend, or somebody you've seen and you just met. But there is a deeper typology, which means a deeper psychology, in the Old Testament, and this is the specific imagery used for an intercessor. Now, I want you to imagine this. Imagine standing in the gap for others, praying for somebody that you know, somebody that needs, you know, those prayers, because at that moment they cannot see spiritually. So you come on the scene and you bring wisdom and insight to prayer, to intercession. Now, the classic concept for intercession is found in Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Come on, Bible scholars, let's go. It says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap. This is the Father talking. On behalf of the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found none. Now, in ancient cities, walls were the main defense against enemies' encroachment. Now, if a hole or a gap appeared in the wall, the enemy could breach the city. An intercessor is a soldier who steps into that hole between destruction and deliverance. They say, devil, if you want to get to my family, my city, my church, my children, my family, you have to go through me first. That's the attitude of an intercessor. It is a posture of defense and warfare. Yes. The Greek word for intercessor is entucheno. E-N-T-U-G-C-H-A-N-O. Entucheno. In the New Testament, the root word for intercession is just that, entucheno, which means to light upon, to meet with, or to approach a king on behalf of another. Amen. It carries a legal connotation as one who pleads on behalf of another in a court of law. And believe you me, when you're going before God, this is a court of law. You are judged. So just remember that. The one here on the earth, they are trying to duplicate what God does. Amen? Now, when we intercede, we come before the supreme judge, not to argue our own case, but plead the blood of Jesus for someone else. We do not come in our own strength, but in the righteousness of Christ, asking for mercy on behalf of another. Now, our identificational repentance, this is something y'all need to hear. Because some of us, when we pray for others, we put them in a category by themselves, as if we don't sin. And we do. But when we pray, if we pray the right prayer, it touches God because he's looking for righteousness. All right? And a lot of times we put them in a box and we're much better because we're a believer and we read the Bible every day, but we do all kinds of things during the day. So true intercession awfully involves identification. It is not simply saying, Lord, they have sinned, but instead, Lord, we have sinned. When Daniel prayed for Israel in Daniel 9, he didn't distance himself from the sin of his people. He identified with it, despite the fact that at that time, he was walking in righteousness. Now, true intercession requires that we carry the burden of others as if they were our own. Galatians 6 and 2 says, we mourn with those who mourn, and we stand in the gap for those who are in need, even when we are not personally guilty of these actions. Now, our priestly breastplate. In the Old Testament, The high priest wore a breastplate adorned with 12 stones, each bearing the names of one of the tribes of Israel. In Exodus 28 and 29, it says, when he entered the holy place, he physically carried the names of God's people over his heart. In other words, he had the 12 tribes written on his breastplate on the outside. Now, this is a powerful image of intercession. We are called to carry the names of those we love, our leaders, our community, our nation, our relatives, our children. Okay, we need to call their names. We might not have the breastplate or the ephod of the high priest, but we have our prayers, all right? Our voice is what brings presence to them. Amen? And so I want you all to understand that we have to intercede on the behalf of others, even if we don't do it up close. Even if there's somebody that we just met, and we are supposed to intercede for those too, even though you just met them, and they will talk to you about something that they are going through. What do? You intercede for them. Sometimes you pray with them. Sometimes you wait till another time and you pray for them. The prayer of intercession is so important. It's a part of our community and it makes us a community. Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes when you have somebody up close and you lay hands on them and you run the devil off, you must be very, very careful. Because when the devil comes back to approach them and he finds them empty, swept, and garnished, you know what happens. The Bible tells you that he'll bring seven more devils more worse than him. So be careful who you pray for without instruction. You got to give them instructions on they need to continue to cover themselves in the blood. They need to know God. They need to pray to God. They need to be with God, because when the enemy comes back, he's not going to be playing with them. So you need to help them by explaining the whole situation when you lay hands on them and when you pray for them, when you, you know, when you come to God for them, you know, let them know I'm praying for you. And if I run the devil off, you got to be prepared. And the word prepares you for all of that. So stay focused, stay in the word, stay at your altar all day, not just in the morning. I know that you have specific places that you pray, you know, at night and in the morning. But as you walk during the day, as you're doing things today, during the day, you can also speak to God about, you know, what's going on with you, what's going on in your presence, you know, what's not happening at the job. Somebody called you on the phone, want to talk about their problems while you're at work, but they still brought them to you. And you pray for them in the midst of work. But this is what we're supposed to do. Now, don't get yourself fired, but it's good to pray for others and pray for those that are on the job. Pray for the manager. You know, pray for the company owner. Just do what you need to do to be a community. And you know, they don't have to know you interceding for them. You could just be praying for them. They could have an illness. They could be, their marriage could be breaking up. There's a lot of things that could be happening. And it's good for you to pray for them. Intercede. Amen. This is what our lesson is today. And church, we have laid the foundation today. We have covered the first eight laws of the altar. Before we leave here today, we must seal the word in the spirit of the law. Let's have a corporate prayer right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, In the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you today with gratitude. We thank you that you are a good God who desires to meet us at our needs, and that you have given us the blueprint to build our altars back up where your fire can fall upon it and bless those around us, including ourselves. Lord, today we have laid the stones on the altar. We refuse to let prayer lives be accidental or occasional. We choose today to walk in the law of priority, putting you first, Lord, above all things. Hallowed be thy name. And we commit ourselves to seek your face daily, Lord. Holy Spirit, arrest our schedules and align our hearts. Where the fire has gone out, our prayer is that you rekindle it. Where the altars have been broken down, our prayer today is that you rebuild it, Lord. That you give us the wisdom to put all things in order. And we ask that the seed sown in this session would take deep root and make the enemy take notice. For we know the enemy tries to steal it away. So we thank you, Lord, that it's planted. As we depart from this place, Lord, we never leave your presence. Give us the strength to live out these first 8 laws that were given. Let our homes become our sanctuaries. Let our hearts become a burning altar. We commit to returning with fresh testimonies of your goodness. We cover this congregation in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. Bless their going in and in their going out, and anywhere they plant their feet, they are blessed, Lord. We thank you for the privilege to intercede. Teach us to stand in the gap for others with passion and with love, to carry their burdens over our hearts as you do the same for us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray today. Amen and amen. Now, don't let the devil steal this lesson from you, okay? And I know he will. He'll bring up an argument. He'll bring up some old mess or something. And sometimes people argue about, okay, we're going to go out to lunch somewhere. But where are we going? And they start an argument. Well, I want to go here. Well, I want to go there. You don't have to do that. Stay with him. Don't lose sight. Amen. And let this prayer linger in your hearts this week as we carry the weight of others in intercession. May the altar of your prayer life burn brighter, hotter, and more fervent as you advocate and stand in the gap for those in need. Amen and amen. That's the end of my lesson today. I look forward to you all next Wednesday for Bible study. Now, these lessons can be had on our app. Our app is located in the Google Play Store or the Apple Store under Rick H. Carter Ministries, Inc. You can find it in either one of those and download it, and you're able to see all of our sermons and Bible studies, and you can play them at demand. Could be midnight, could be 2 o'clock in the morning, could be anywhere, could be at your job, as long as you got some earphones, all right? So everybody won't hear what you're doing, what you listen to. Anyway, look, the word is for, it really helps us. It helps our heart to be fervent, to be strong, and to be kind to others. All right. We'll talk to you later. Be blessed and have a great day. And don't forget to give on your way out. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Have a good day.
Have a good day.
Runs way too deep. No, not one can take from